You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back. 8:06. Nice to have you here up north. It's a Friday morning, November 14th, 2025. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is with us as well, as always on Friday mornings. Mike Clemens will be coming up in just a little bit to preview the weekend coming up in sports. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's sunny and 29 degrees. He says today he wants to go take pictures of the farmers who lease my family's property, who are combining their corn, and get some corn harvesting shots. He says, I love a new place in Wittenberg called Brits for ice cream sundaes. It's in the old A&W off of old Highway 29 in Wittenberg. Still love A&W for their ice cream and sundaes. Let's see. And he notes, we were talking about the Starland Vocal Band during the news break here amongst ourselves, and talked about how they had a variety show. We were talking about one-hit wonders over the break here. And apparently my definition of one-hit wonders needs to be expanded or something like that.
Do you get a variety show if you're a one-hit wonder? I don't.
You did
so.
In the 70s. Everybody had a variety show in the 70s.
I'll give you that.
Bobby Vinton. That was one of my favorites.
Bobby
Shana
Goldsboro. Tom
Donnie
Jones.
And Marie.
Yep.
Sonny and Cher.
I was going to say, they all saw Sonny and Cher and said, oh, we can do that. Like, no. Sonny and Cher were uniquely good.
Captain and Tennille.
Oh, yes. Yep. They had one, too. We're really dating ourselves here. So let's get back to the
I knew none of those names.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here, host of the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. You can hear on Saturdays at noon across the Civic Media Radio Network. What is happening this weekend?
Oh, I brought back an oldie but a goodie. Not really an oldie, but a Civic Media oldie, Kristen Bry.
Oh.
Kristen Bry and I chat about all the things, being a mom, being on radio, the New York Times piece on liberal feminism and what they got wrong. It's a good conversation. Kristen's just such an interesting person, and the two of us, it could have gone on for hours and hours.
I would listen to that.
You ought to.
I mean, seriously. I will listen to it. I'm saying if you did, if she ever gives up, she's working at some other like up and coming radio station in Milwaukee right now. If that ever, you know, doesn't work out for her, you two need to start the podcast.
Well, you can't stop us. We could be sitting in my living room drinking wine, and all of a sudden it's 2 o'clock in the morning. It would just, yes. So it was easy.
It would remind me of the Fox football reporters, Carissa Thompson and Aaron Andrews. Do a podcast now.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Calm Down.
Yep.
Because they were always told you need to calm down. And, you know, you can tell how that went over. And they are still, you know, very by the book reporters talking about football on Sundays. But they now have this platform where they can just say whatever they want with all the words they want to use. And it is rather refreshing. And I think you and Kristen would be amazing at that.
Yeah, you can't stop us.
No. Or we get you on with Kylie Kelce.
Oh, my gosh. I would love that.
The wife of the now retired Philadelphia Eagles football star, Jason Kelce. Not Travis, who's engaged to Taylor Swift. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think yes.
Good job, Pat.
Jason had quite a tour of Northeast Wisconsin last weekend.
Oh, that's right. He did.
He got the prime rib. He got the spotted cows. He got the old fashions. He did the whole thing. He got the ice cream drink at the end. His stomach didn't know what was happening.
The Philly man was very confused.
And I love when you've got a couple like that that are just, you know, they seem to be good people and they're genuinely funny. Again, you know, Kylie Kelce's show, her podcast, which is called Not Gonna Lie, it's fantastic. It's, you know, again, she's speaking on behalf of moms everywhere, and then also as a, you know, kind of sort of celebrity of what life is like there. So anyway, now that we've proposed all these other shows, let's not forget the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. with Kristen Bry joining her as the guest coming up this Saturday at noon across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mm-hmm. And on YouTube.
That's, and on YouTube as well, yeah. We're going to get into a headline or two with Kristen in just a sec, but I don't want to forget that we have plenty of sports that you can hear across Civic Media coming up this weekend, starting tonight. The Badger men's hockey team takes on Ohio State. You can hear coverage starting at 6:30 tonight on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids and WJMS up in Ironwood, Michigan. The Badger football team, they're going to have a tough one going up against the second-ranked team in the country, Indiana. Coverage begins at 9 a.m. on several Civic Media stations, and then the Packers and the Giants play at noon, so coverage begins at 10 a.m. on several Civic Media stations. Of course, Mike Clemens will be along in just a little bit to tell us much more about what to expect this weekend. But Kristen, let's talk about the New York Times editorial board making a unique proposal that I think they were trying to be helpful. And clearly,
I don't know.
There is as expressed by writer Jessica Valenti, who has a newsletter about women's reproductive health, and she was none too happy about what the New York Times editorial board said. They first did lay out the brutal reality of post-Dobbs America, the way that Planned Parenthood is under attack, abortion medication is under siege, women are dying, and yet the New York Times editorial board said, quote, Congress should set a floor that allows for basic access to abortion in every state. Such a law would return the country to a version of the legal landscape before the Supreme Court allowed burdensome restrictions, blah, 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 blah. And Jessica Valenti writes, let's be very clear. A national floor set by Congress is a national abortion ban. Calling it something else doesn't change that reality. They don't specify where is this floor. Is it 12 weeks? Is it 15 weeks? The vast majority of Americans do not want government involved in abortion at all. Most Americans understand that pregnancy is too complicated to legislate at any point. How do you feel about that?
I agree with Jessica Valenti. I think the New York Times right now is just trying to get clicks. With that, with the opinion piece about liberal feminism, they are just looking for attention. Hey, this is a terrible idea. Americans have said over and over again, they do not want government dictating the healthcare that we receive. And abortion is, I think, the most prominent example of that. But I mean, no matter who you are, you don't want somebody from the government saying, oh, sorry, that's a law we made. You can't get that medicine or that treatment. Mm-hmm. We heard this with death panels. We've heard this over and over again. So why? Why, New York Times? Why are you even suggesting this? It doesn't make any sense at all.
No, and frankly, it not that it's not an important issue, but because it's not really a serious proposal. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's taking attention away from the more pressing healthcare issue right now, and that is the way that health insurance premiums are going to skyrocket, and there are going to be so many people uninsured as of the first of this year. They're getting those new premium prices right now. And they're either saying, well, we don't have a choice. We're going to have to, cut corners in some other ways. Or more likely, they're just going to say, I guess we're going without health insurance. We're rolling the dice come January 1st.
How about the New York Times writes an editorial about making sure that every American has access to quality, affordable health care, no matter where they live? That, yeah. I can get behind that.
I think anybody could. And the question that I asked,
what all of us want?
Yes. And so the question I asked of the panel last hour and Kia Vakil in our first hour, and I'll ask this one of you, and it's going to sound a little too political baseball, so don't take the bait if you don't have to. But there will be this standalone vote as part of this, shutdown deal. And so, Derek Van Orden in the House and Tony Weed and Tom Tiffany and Ron Johnson and others in the Senate will have to take a vote on something, theoretically, if Republican leadership keeps their word. Let's just say for the sake of argument that what they're voting on is not full reinstatement of the enhanced premium tax credits under the Affordable Care Act, but it's also not zero. It's something that is negotiated. Do you see a scenario where something could pass, or are we all kind of in the boat of, nope, no matter what that vote says, nothing's going to change. Everybody's prices are going to jack up. How should we have any sense of optimism about what Congress might do with this issue now that the shutdown is over?
I honestly don't know what they will do other than they will take the directive that is given to them. That is the one thing that we have seen consistently from my Congressman, Tony Weed. He does not represent the people of Northeast Wisconsin. He is the mouthpiece for Donald Trump. So when the administration makes a decision about what they're going to do, he just puts it out into the universe. And I suspect the same from Ron Johnson. We've seen that over and over again. I mean, he completely caved when it came to the deficit with H.R. 1. Yeah. And we had this giant budget deficit, and he said, we can't mortgage our children's future. And then he had a conversation with Donald Trump, and sure enough, we can mortgage our children's future. Yeah. And it's not actually that hard. So whatever the administration tells them to do, they're going to do. And one of the things that I find most concerning is that if we as people don't step up and hold these leaders accountable, they just keep railroading over us to the point where they are literally starving people. 1 in 8 people with these SNAP benefits, half of them are children. Many of them are living with a disability. They are elderly. They need this food to eat. Yet the federal government has been like, I don't think they really need it. Yeah. We have to hold these people accountable. That is the only way we are going to get leaders who actually represent us.
Well, instead, they're doing like what Derek Van Orden did in that stunt where he rode his motorcycle, 900 miles to Washington, D.C., which, again, I feel is just a big old stinging indictment of how Sean Duffy's managed the air travel system. But anyway, he'd rather ride his motorcycle through a windshield as a political stunt. And he posed for getting a little award from somebody, I assume from Harley Davidson, because he thanked Harley Davidson for the award for his 900-mile motorcycle ride to get to Congress to vote to jack up your health insurance rates. I mean, that is literally a participation trophy for driving to work.
Yeah, he's just all about the flex, and there's no meaning in what he does. You know, he is an angry man who just wants attention and is not doing anything for the betterment of the people he is supposed to be representing. And we see it over and over again. And I really hope that the people in the third are watching and understand just how poorly they are being represented.
I hope. And I think what will help show that is a series of stories that Selena Heller is doing for Up North News that will be published very soon here. She spent the day with a farmer just as he was on his combine all day, harvesting all these soybeans, going through all these soybeans and talking about the double whammy of, first off, he's having this bumper crop, but no place to go with it, because China stopped buying U.S. soybeans. I know they say there's a deal, but, believe it when we see it. Yeah. So he's already hit by falling prices, but increased costs for fertilizer and everything else. And then on top of it, farmers are self-employed. Farmers have to go to the Affordable Care Act marketplace. Everybody thinks, oh, these people on the marketplace, they're just, bums or whatever. No, farmers. Farmers need good prices for their health insurance, or they go without health insurance in this dangerous occupation. So he's already been hit by Trump's trade war, and now he's getting hit by Trump and Derek Van Orden and Tony Weed and all the Republicans saying, we don't care that we're pricing you out of the health insurance market.
They don't care.
No. So so you will see Selena's reports sitting right there in the cab of the combine and out in the fields as well. So be looking for that on our social media sites. Just search for Up North News WI on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and all that. All right. Still ahead, Mike Clemens is going to talk about sports. It's going to be another busy sports weekend as well as we continue rolling along on a Friday morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Coming up next week on the program, we have a very special homeroom segment. Homeroom is the segment we do Wednesdays at 7:30, all about school funding and public schools and defending them from threats in Wisconsin. Look, Wisconsin's school funding system is a mystery to most people, but there is an even bigger mystery out there. Gathering Dust on a Shelf is a comprehensive bipartisan plan to simplify and improve school funding in our state. Whatever happened to it? The 2017 Blue Ribbon Commission on School Funding was praised as a model of how Republicans and Democrats could work together to make public education more stable and taxpayers' costs more affordable. But putting words into deeds requires action by the legislature, and we've all seen how that's going these days. So next Wednesday at 7:30, we will hear from two members of the original Blue Ribbon panel, Julie Underwood, former dean of the UW School of Education, and former state rep Sandy Pope, as they discuss whether the Blue Ribbon plan could still be a roadmap for lawmakers today. Tune into that next Wednesday at 7:30, part of our homeroom segment on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back now with Dr. Kristen Lyerly as well, and the Packers are playing in New York against the Giants. So is this the part where you tell me, oh, you just happen to have a trip to New York going on this weekend for a conference?
I'm going to be raking leaves.
Okay.
And listening on the radio. That's my plan for Sunday.
By the way, nice trust fall video that you put up with Pink in the background as you fall backwards into a pile of leaves. That was, I mean, look, I know you made the, you know, the leaf pile is there, but that's still the way you fell straight backwards in there. That's not something I would necessarily pull off. I'd find a way to assume the pile of leaves was big enough and then bash my head on a rock down on the ground or something like that. But it looked fun.
I did rake that pile of leaves, so I knew exactly what was in it. And I did not want to leave it because I really got buried in it. It was very fluffy and it smelled so good. Oh, that autumn leaf smell is just, you should try it.
All the trust me, people are doing it. I did. You know what? One of my favorite photos, and you know, the girls, when they get older, they don't want to see all the pictures when they were little kids and stuff. But still, one of the best pictures I ever took was when they were something like, you know, 5 and 7 or 6 and 8. And I raked a big old pile of leaves and then had them run straight through it. And I get them in mid pile where their arms are up and they're running and they're smiling and there are leaves everywhere. And sometimes you ever take a picture and go, wow, that turned out way better than I thought it would, you know?
Yeah. I love that. We do that for Halloween. We make a big pile in the front yard when the trick-or-treaters come up. They're like, they're eyeing it. And we're like, you can jump in it. They get really excited about it.
Oh, I'll bet they do.
Yeah.
Let's see. It's a Friday morning here, 8:26. Mike Clemens is going to talk sports in just a sec. And I hate to move into, you know, darker stuff, but we were talking about what they're voting on in Washington. And we can't talk about that without talking about, you know, what's happening with the Jeffrey Epstein case here. And for this reason, you feel like when it comes to the Affordable Care Act subsidies, that members of Congress, all the Republicans, will do whatever Donald Trump tells them to do. But in this case, not all of them are. And I think that when this discharge petition to release the Epstein files does finally come up for a vote, and I think there will be more stalling tactics attempted, but I think you're going to get a fairly decent number of Republicans who are going to go along with releasing this and not just do the cover-up that the president wants them to perpetuate. Does that, having said that, does it give you any extra optimism about the Affordable Care Act? Or conversely, do you feel like I'm wrong and the Epstein files are just going to stay all covered up?
I think that the Epstein files, everybody knows that this is the dividing issue. This is the thing where people are taking a stand, and we've seen it. We've seen Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and some of the people who have been most extreme and most loyal to Donald Trump really starting to peel away for a variety of reasons. So I personally think that the more we learn, and they're still going through, these are just the emails that we're seeing. The whole Department of Justice thing has not yet been released. Remember back in the day, a few months ago, when they had the binders and they were talking about releasing it, talking real big, and then they decided that they weren't going to. It is clear that they are holding something back. So what I'm hearing from most Americans is, put it out there. I don't care if Bill Clinton is in there and whoever else. If there are people in there who have been doing these kinds of horrendous deeds, put it out there so that we can hold these people accountable. And I think that's where a lot of these legislators have lined up as well. So it'll be very interesting to see how this all shakes out as more and more information becomes available. And it is irrefutable.
Mm-hmm. We've got now under 2 weeks until Thanksgiving. What's the Lyerly family plan here? Is it you and the boys? Because I know you don't cook, so is the turkey coming from a deli or what here?
No, I don't mind cooking. I just don't like the routine of cooking.
Okay.
You know, it just feels like a lot of effort mm-hmm. when I could just have an apple with some peanut butter on it for dinner. But when it comes to Thanksgiving's like an event. So, you know, mm-hmm. we bring the kids in and everybody picks a dish that they like and everybody cooks together. Mm-hmm. And with the kids being gone now, most of them are not home. So to have that everybody come back and my sister shows up and then usually some stragglers show up, it just really feels like a together time.
Now watch me take it in another direction. Now, is Thanksgiving dinner off the table by the time you start decorating for Christmas? Is it something you do on the Friday? How much time does Thanksgiving actually get before we move right into Christmas season?
Oh, Pat, it's Gopher Badger football on Saturday, so I don't have time.
Oh.
I have to get to Minneapolis for the game.
Of course.
Uh-huh.
Will you get the chance to dress up as Goldie, the mascot? Like, do the little alumni take a turn in there? Look at you giggle. You would love that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I can't really reveal that information.
Okay. Well, stay tuned for that 2 weeks from tomorrow. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, thanks for taking part in our little week in review quiz. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll listen to your show tomorrow, and then we'll see you Monday morning.
Sounds good. Have a great weekend, guys.
All right. Thank you. Coming up next, we'll talk to Mike Clemens about sports. Going to be a busy one for all sorts of Badger teams. Packers are playing as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Nice to have you back at 8:35 on this Friday morning, November 14th. We are into that time of year where there's just sports all over the place as seasons start to overlap, and we get to see postseason action in some places, like high school football is getting into its final stages here as well. The NBA season is underway. We've got the Packers playing this weekend, all that and so much more that we're going to cover now with Mike Clemens, who joins us and keeps an eye on everything that's out there. And Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning from Green Bay. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm sure you will be traveling to New York to the Meadowlands this weekend.
Yes, I will. Got a Packer game coming up tonight. It's going to be the Bucks at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, and they're taking on the Hornets. They played the Hornets in Charlotte the other night. Hornets able to snap a 3-game losing streak. They won 111-110. Bucks, they've now fallen to 7-5. They're like 7th or 8th in the Eastern Conference right now. They are off to a good start there. Giannis sat out his second game of the season. He's got like this tendonitis thing in the knee. And then last night we got a note from the team, the Torian Prince of Ford. You know, he's been out for a few games with a neck injury. He had to undergo surgery for a herniated disc in his neck, so he's going to be out indefinitely. But other than that, you know, the Bucks are looking pretty good. This Ryan Rollins, he's only 23. He had like 25 points in one game a couple of nights ago. So he's kind of filling that role that maybe Damian Lillard had the last couple of years as a shooter to help out Giannis. So tonight at Fiserv Forum, it's round two of the NBA Cup, the in-season tournament, which the Bucks won last year in Las Vegas. I think they call it the group stage.
Yeah.
I don't understand what that means, but I just know that's what's on the line tonight against the Hornets in Milwaukee.
And so do we feel like the Giannis tendonitis, so this wasn't a case of, rest him up for this game, so maybe he's better for the cup game, but this is a lingering concern for Antetokounmpo?
Obviously. And, you know, Pat, every time I see this guy, he's 30 now, 31 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Some point I'm going to ask Doc Rivers off to the side, do you ever just sit this guy down and say, you know what? It's November. Stop throwing your body on. Take a lesson from like Kobe. You know, stop doing that. Consider yourself more of a shooter. You know, and maybe your defense. But if there's any, because he's on his back 6 or 7 times a night, mm-hmm. and that can't be good for this guy in the second half of his career. So,
Yeah. All right. Well, that's again, that's coming up tonight at the Fiserv Forum. Meanwhile, let's see. We've got the Wisconsin Badger women's volleyball team. They're back in action. We haven't talked about them very much because they're, I mean, they haven't been top ranked in the country, but they are still extremely competitive this season, Mike.
Nebraska is number one again in women's college volleyball. But yeah, no, you know, Kelly Sheffield's still got that great program going on tonight. They'll be in East Lansing, Michigan, taking on Michigan State, the Spartans. 6 p.m. The game's going to be on the Big Ten Network on TV. But yeah, Badgers are 18-4, 7-1 on the road. I think they're 11-3 in the conference, and they're ranked 11th in the nation. They got back one of their players, Charlie Furbringer. She's a setter. She'd been missed a couple of games with an injury, but she's back. Mimi Culver. It's a exciting team, and they draw when their home games in Madison. Man, they sometimes sell out the Kohl Center. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I think Nebraska is still undefeated on the season. They are just a machine this year. Let's head over to baseball, where, again, we had the good news earlier that Pat Murphy had been named Manager of the Year for the second straight year, and the accolades just roll on for the team.
Yeah, and so now Matt Arnold, the GM, named Major League Baseball Executive of the Year for the second year in a row. And I think, you know, the voters, you know, they recognize it. For once again, the Brewers come into the season with some key injuries like Brandon Woodruff and others. They keep bringing up these young guys, and the questions are, where are you finding them, and how does Murph get them ready to the point where they have the best winning record in all of Major League Baseball through the regular season, the 14-game winning streak, and, you know, other teams just saying, how do you do this, and on that payroll? So, Matt Arnold not only winning that Executive of the Year thing for a second year old, but after the season, the ownership also gave him a boost in title. They've now called him the President of Baseball Operations for the Brewers. Doesn't really change what he does, but I imagine, you know, he got a little bonus there on his pay stub, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. New title, new zero on the paycheck, maybe. And no doubt well-earned for what they're doing. Again, there is the fan frustration of trying to get over, you know, the next hump. But to get to this point in, you know, the smallest market is just an amazing achievement.
And to sweep the Dodgers like they did, both out in L.A. and then in Milwaukee. And the Dodgers looked like they've, you know, I was in the clubhouse, you know, with Dave Roberts and Mookie was on the phone talking about an addition to his house with his wife. Like, where are these guys' heads at? But, of course, they're pros. They're veterans, you know. And they pull it together in August and September. And then they just roll and they win, you know, back-to-back World Series titles.
We've got the Badger football team that is in action. They will be taking on Indiana. And, Mike, I don't follow college football that closely. And so the college football rankings look so weird to me. It's so I see the Badgers taking on Indiana, second ranked in the nation. Now, I'm used to Ohio State being up at the top, and they are again this week. But your top college football teams, Ohio State, followed by Indiana, followed by Texas A&M, and then Alabama, Georgia, Texas Tech, Ole Miss, and on it goes with the usual suspects. This Indiana thing, it feels to me like it kind of came out of nowhere, but like I said, I don't watch it carefully.
Yeah, well, you know, and that coach there is in his second year. Kurt is in his second year there. His brother used to be a quarterback coach for Mike McCarthy. These are Pittsburgh guys. He's done an amazing job in recruiting and coaching and turning the program around. NIL might have something to do with it, with those other teams you mentioned that are in the top 10. So going into the last week's game, you know, the university announces that Luke Fickell will definitely be back next year, that we're going to say it's not the coaching, but that it's finances, and we're going to have to put more finances into the program. In other words, you know, kick up the paying scale to try and get some of these recruits. And in the rain, they won that game, you know, last week against Washington, and rain and the snow later on with some of the recruits in the stands watching the game. So it was emotional, you know. They're not going to win tomorrow in Bloomington. Kickoff at 11 o'clock. Can I tell you two quick story, Pat? So last Saturday, because it's a Monday night game, I'm in the Packers locker room. And, you know, we go in there and we get our interviews and we gather our information. We kind of got like a grocery list of players we'd like to talk to. And we're on the clock. Got to be out in 45 minutes, and there's a set time. And well, there's maybe 5 minutes left. And all of a sudden, I look down at the end of this brand new Packers locker room with all these giant screens, and people all gather around this one screen, mostly the media people, some PR people, front office people, and then some players are coming out of the showers, and they're looking up, and I'm like, what are they looking at? Almost like being at a monitor in an airport where people are gathered, like, what's everybody watching? And it was Penn State up by 4 over Indiana, top-ranked team. And out comes Rasheed Walker, the left tackle he's watching now, Evan Williams, the safety, and then Micah Parsons. I'm like, well, what is he watching? Oh, yeah, he's from Penn State. And it was so cool to watch a college football game with these NFL players because it just shows, you know what, these guys are, I mean, they're all football. They can't take their eyes off of it. And they're breaking down what's going on with the game. And after a couple of minutes in this, I thought, do you know what Packer fans would do for this opportunity to sit here in this practically like living room and watch this game with them? That was a pretty cool moment last Saturday.
Oh, gosh, no doubt about that. We're talking to Mike Clemens, talking about some of the sports that we're going to be following this weekend, some of it on the Civic Media Radio Network, including the Badgers at Indiana. Pre-game coverage begins at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning on several stations. Then, of course, there's the Packers heading to New York to take on the Giants. Pre-game begins Sunday at 10 a.m. That's at MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands. What can you tell us about the Packers trying to get the train back on track here?
Yeah, the Packers coming off back-to-back losses. Now, you know, it was an upset that they lost to the Panthers at home, although the Panthers are an improving team. And then on Monday Night Football, you know, they lose this, you know, baseball match, this 10-7 loss to the Eagles on Monday Night Football. And people know that the Packers' defense is performing at a high level, but what's wrong with the Packers' offense and who's in charge of that offense? And it's Matt LaFleur, and then so, you know, he gets asked after the game, are you on the hot seat? Are you concerned? Are you coaching for your job next year? Because, you know, that all got started when the new president of the team, Ed Policy, said, we'll wait until the end of the year before we talk about extensions for Gutekunst and for LaFleur going into their final season. So then after the game, the frustration, Josh Jacobs, the running back, says, man, those Eagles, they're so prepared. They were calling out, you hear them calling out, inside zone, this way. Mm-hmm. Josh Jacobs after the game Monday night.
4th and 1, they called out our play. We ran it like 4 times. They called it out. Got good draw, push. The clock was going out. We kind of snapped it faster than we wanted to, and they made a play.
Inside zone, this way. Inside zone, this way.
It's Jacobs. Flag flies.
As a runner, it don't ever feel good. They called it out. We called our play. They said inside zone.
Inside zone this way. Inside zone this way.
It's coming right here. So I kind of like didn't want to run right there, you know? Yeah, that's just how it played out. We got to find actual answers to our problems.
Oh, man, that's a rough way to have the game when your play is getting called in front of you there, Mike.
Yeah, you know. So they need to see better protection from the offensive line. Then they lose Elton Jenkins, their veteran offensive lineman, to a broken fibula, you know, and ligament damage. He's going to have surgery. He's done for the year. They move Sean Ryan, the right guard, over to center. And now they take on a Giants team that fired their coach, Brian Daboll, after they were up by 2 scores and then lost to Caleb Williams and the Bears. And Jackson Dart, their quarterback, you know, for some reason, Daboll kept on letting his quarterback have keepers and run with the ball. Well, he's like in his 3rd or 4th concussion protocol of the season. So Russell Wilson got to play a little bit in that loss to the Bears. And now they've named Jameis Winston as the starting quarterback on Sunday for the Giants against the Packers. And he was at his press conference yesterday.
I want fans to know that I'm going to do my best. You know, obviously, I'm going to have fun, but I'm going to execute, have a surgical execution, and just play ball, man. Like, this is something I've been doing since I've been 4 years old. Now I just get to do it in the greatest city in the world. I'm going to be saying it with my son. It's the greatest city in the world. Yeah, that's a Hamilton reference, if y'all don't know.
I heard that the first time, Mike, and I'm like, how are these guys not laughing along? I got the Hamilton reference right away, and he's like, "I'm singing the crickets out here." So we got a minute left. I mean, is Jameis? I mean, he's getting a little long in the tooth here.
He is, but he's still got the gun, you know. And even though, you know, defensive backs start licking their chops because they think there might be a couple of interception possibilities there, don't forget when, you know, he's a journeyman now around the NFL. Remember that game 4 or 5 years ago where a hurricane hits New Orleans? He's playing for the Saints, so they move us to Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And he throws like 33 points up. I mean, he's throwing darts and bombs all night and beat the Packers in that opening game that season. It was like one of the worst losses in the LaFleur era, so you hope that that doesn't repeat on Sunday. But the Packers are 7-point favorites going into this game.
Well, he's not going to he's going to take his shot. I'm going to try the other Hamilton reference here. Mike Clemens, thank you very much.
Well,
don't
played,
throw away that
Dad.
Shot, buddy. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Safe travels. We'll talk to you later.
Good night, everybody. Tip your way.
Good night, everybody. Exactly. We'll wrap things up. Some final news and notes from Lake Wissota after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Well, it's time to wrap things up for the week here on these mornings powered by Up North News, but we can't leave without noting that there's so much sports going on this weekend, we couldn't pack it into one segment here. We got the Badger men's hockey team playing on the radio tonight against Ohio State. Coverage begins at 6:30 on a couple of Civic Media stations in Wisconsin Rapids, I should say, and Ironwood, Michigan. The Badger women's hockey team is at St. Cloud State tonight and then again tomorrow afternoon. We've got the women's basketball team hosting UW Green Bay on Sunday afternoon. The men's basketball team plays next Monday. They are playing SIUE. Let's see if Parker remembers SIUE and what it stands for.
Edwardsville,
yes. Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville. Very good.
The Cougars.
Oh, look, you even looked that up. Yeah,
it's a boring name. It's not the Fighting Camels.
That's on Monday. It'll wrap up a four-game homestand to start the Badger men's basketball season. After that will come games in Salt Lake City and in San Diego. And, of course, we've mentioned some of the other things already about the Bucks playing at home against Charlotte tonight. But one other college basketball note, Buzz Williams, remember the name? I mean, he's still coaching, but remember he was coaching Marquette. And he will be back at Marquette on Saturday on the other side, on the opposing team bench for the first time because he's now with Maryland. And to give proper credit, I'm getting a lot of this from Ben Steele's story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, but Buzz Williams went 139 wins and 69 losses with Marquette from 2008 to 2014. His teams reached the NCAA tournament 5 times in 6 seasons, advanced to 2 Sweet 16s and an Elite Eight. That was after he was a young head coach in New Orleans in 2006-2007 when Tom Crean hired Williams as his assistant. When Crean left for Indiana, Williams took over at Marquette. But Williams eventually went to Virginia Tech, 5 seasons, 3 NCAA tournaments. Then he went to Texas A&M in 2019, 5 seasons, 3 NCAA tournaments, before arriving now in Maryland. And before he got there, Maryland and Marquette had already committed to a home-and-home series last year and this year. So this had nothing to do with Buzz Williams, you know, coaching Maryland. But now he will be back at Marquette on Saturday. And that should make for some interesting fan reception there.
It could be, yeah. I don't know. It's a little while removed, obviously. He's had a couple of destinations post-Marquette, now. So it might be interesting to see that. Yeah, I don't know. It's always a kind of an odd circumstance, that homecoming for a coach.
Right.
So, I don't know. He seems like he's bounced around a little too much for how good he is, me question what people think of him.
Well, and he rubbed a few people the wrong way at Marquette as well, which is part of what led to his departure. So another case of, you know, he gets the job done, but how much are you willing? It's the Billy Martin syndrome, I'd like to call it. There we go. I've got a name for it.
There you go.
You're doing really good, but I can't stand to have you around. To wrap things up, we're coming back to, we were talking about not so much one-hit wonders, but people who are, they get famous for a little while, mm-hmm. and then they're done. Then you're all done hearing about them. And I thought, well, I'm going to go look up the list of best new artists who won the Grammy and, you know, see if that fits in what I'm saying. So far, no, I'm completely wrong. Last year, you had Chappell Roan, who beat out, by the way, Sabrina Carpenter and Benson Boone and Shaboozey, among others, Teddy Swims. Now, Victoria Monet in 2024, I can't tell you if she's a one-hit wonder because I have no idea who that is. It might even be a group, not a person. Same with 2023 when it was Samara Joy.
See, I don't know her. I knew Monet. I knew that name.
Well, I know Janelle Monáe, but I don't know, you know, Victoria Monáe. So I don't know. You had Olivia Rodrigo in 2022. Love her.
Yeah.
Megan Thee Stallion in 2021. Billie Eilish in 2020.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I'm looking at all these categories with all the nominees.
Sure.
And here's the challenge for Grandpa.
Oh, boy.
How far back do I have to scroll to the point where not only have I heard of all of the nominees for Best New Artist, but it's not just a case of I think I've heard of them, but I can actually name a song by every one of the nominees. How far back do you think I had to scroll to honestly say I know every one of these nominees for Best New Artist and can name a song from them?
Pat, please remind me, what year were you born?
1964, but we're not going that far back.
Okay, 1963.
Yeah, nice try. I can say definitively it would be
was it
1999.
In your youth? 99. All right.
But I'm looking at a few of these and I'm thinking I might be, no, 2003 was Norah Jones, Ashanti, Michelle Branch, Avril Lavigne and John Mayer. So that one may count.
Okay.
But from that point on, there's always at least somebody where I go, I got nothing. You know, 2007, Carrie Underwood, yeah. James Blunt, yeah. Chris Brown, yeah. Yeah. Corinne Bailey Rae. Why didn't we hear more from her? And then Imogen Heap. Nothing. Nah, I got nothing.
Nope, you know? Nothing.
It is not like going back to who did we have today for a birthday? Stephen Bishop turned 75 years old today. Had a big hit that we played from 1977. He was one of the nominees for Grammy Best New Artist in 1978 with a category that included Foreigner, Sean Cassidy, Andy Gibb, and Debbie Boone. And Debbie Boone won the Grammy for Best New Artist of 1978. She had You Light Up My Life and then absolutely nothing else. So that just shows you what the Best New Artist from the Grammys will get you nowadays.
It's a cool
Thanks
title.
For playing little musical trivia with us as we traipse down memory lane and see what I still remember after all of these years. Parker, have a great weekend. Thanks to all of you for joining us as well. Join us back here bright and early Monday morning at 6 a.m. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News, part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Matt Nair on Air is next. We'll see you later.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.